Welcome to the Harvest Word Assembly, the city of refuge, where all can find and dwell in God's love, where destinies are aligned and lives are transformed by the raw, undiluted power of God. Under the leadership of Prophet Gbenga Shafe, we gather today not just for service, but for an encounter. Get ready, heaven is open, the word is alive, and your miracle is now.
Just like we have been told, and the theme that we have been informed about, ruling your mountain. As I was sitting there, a word kept popping up in my spirit. Just one word. And as I just closed my eyes again to pray, it's like the Holy Spirit reminded me again, tell them that word I showed you. And I saw the word barrier. Barrier. What's a barrier? A barrier is a blockade. Have you ever gotten to a checkpoint before? One officer stopped me yesterday. Where's your this? Where's your that? He searched until he found one error. And he said, you know you have two offenses now. Your tire. I asked him, I said, how many people are using brand new tire in Nigeria, Oga? If I check your own tire now, I know I will see error. I said it to him. He looked for the second error. What was the second error, my dear? He said the spare tire is that type they bring from abroad, that small one. He said, no, after 3 months it has expired. You are supposed to get a new one. So it became a barrier. And I was coming to Lagos so I can be closer to church and come early. That's a barrier. A barrier is something set up to stop you. By the help of God, every barrier across your path is leveled today in Jesus' name. Amen. And that is one of the things today's message is sent to do for us. To take away every barrier. And I trust that your eyes will open. Amen. Pastor said every time you want to be, God wants to introduce you to a new level. There is a re-education. He said some things this morning that got my attention. So let's start from the beginning. And please, whoever is in charge of the scripture, you help me. Because I'm going to be juggling many things so that I can complete the message. What I have can be done. If I want to do justice, it will take me 3 hours. But I have less than an hour now. So please, I will appreciate if the scripture can be popping up as I call them so that we read them together. Pastor knows I'm a teacher, both in life and in the spirit. I teach spiritual things. I teach engineering. So it's one gift I know God gave me and I operate in it very well. So I like to lay precepts and take it from step so that you can understand the principles. So I want us to start from the book of the beginning, which is Genesis chapter 1. God gave man his purpose. Are you aware of that? Let's open to Genesis chapter 1 and let's flip to verse 28, please. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and all that. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face, and the tree, which is the fruit, yielding to you shall be for meat. Do you notice something from those two verses? God gave man his purpose in verse 29 before he gave him food. And I said something here. Until you identify, pursue, and apprehend your purpose in life, your daily bread is not guaranteed. Verse 28. God showed Adam what to do before he showed him what to eat. Purpose. God's mandate to man in the verse, that verse 28, he says, subdue and have dominion. I'll come back to that. Subdue and have dominion. Now, the word subdue, what does it suggest to you? I open Google. Just type it. Don't type it right now. Don't go online. You'll be tempted to see social media. I'll read it to you. Subdue means to overcome, to quieten, and to bring under control. Does that sound like a gentle word to you? Subdue means there will be resistance. Can you see barrier now? Subdue, if you just put that word in Google and press search, it says to quieten. In other words, there will be people's voice that will say no to you where you are going to. You go for an interview, they say, we don't like him. We don't like your face. Who is your father? Who born you? Who exists you? It says, quieting. That's another word for subdue. In other words, there are voices rising against you. You quieten it. Shut up there. Those village voices, they don't want you to go far. You don't know. Nah, they don't want you to go far. You tell them to shut up. It's not automatic. That because God said, this is who you are. You think it's automatic, you will get there. No, we'll check it. Another one says, bring under control. Still the definition of subduing. I won't even talk about dominion much today. Remember I said, it can take me 3 hours. Bring something under control. So, that scripture, where God, that's the first thing God said to man. If you check from verse 27, God just did his own thing. And the first time when he opened his mouth and spoke to man, the first instruction God gave to man, multiply, this. Then he had, in the same verse, subdue, have dominion. He's not giving you food on a platter of gold. He's telling you, take charge. There are things to do. This is introduction. So the word subdue suggests that there will be resistance to the things that God has ordained for your life. Now, anything that stands between you and your goal, your objectives, your dream, that thing is your mountain. Remember, the theme is rule your mountain. Therefore, the topic for my message today is ruling your mountain. Ruling your mountain. Anything that stands between you and that thing that God has decided is your portion, that thing has become your mountain. And remember, God says, subdue it. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Deuteronomy 2, 24, can you please flash that? And I want us to read it together. It says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given it into your hand. Can you see? God gave it. Look, if you have a car that is a gift, and somebody is struggling with it with you, is that not a problem? Somebody gave it to you. Shouldn't you just kick it and go home? But look at what God said. I have given it into your hand. Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. He says, begin to possess it. And do what? Contend with them in battle. Something that is given to you, you still need to contend for it. Why? Because there is a resistance. There is somebody saying, you cannot come in here. You can't get in here. My land, I'm king. This is not yours, but you heard from God. God has given it to me. And God is now saying, I will help you to uproot. He said, you go. There is a responsibility for everyone that must achieve destiny. There is a part that you must play. God will not do everything for you. He won't give it to you on a platter. God does not have children that are weaklings. God wants children that are strong. Men and women. Men and women of valor. People that when they speak, the earth will listen. In other words, God was saying to that person, go to that king and quieten him. Bring him under control. Bring him under subjection. That is the task of anyone that must achieve destiny. When God gave this command, That command in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Do you know God did not have religion in mind? The first thing that comes to your mind when you think of God, what is it? Is it not something Christianity, worship, reverence, holy, service? Isn't it? You'll be shocked if I told you that God did not... Okay, thank you for going back to that verse 28. When God was saying all these things, first of all, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, do this, subdue. When he was saying that thing, subdue, have dominion, God did not have church in mind. Aren't you surprised? God did not have... In fact, I said, there was no organized church in scripture until Moses. Everybody who worshipped God, Cain and Abel, was he a church? Each one was doing his thing. Each time Abraham worshipped God, did he have anybody with him? He will set up the altar, he will build it himself. Jacob, Unko, check. Church did not start until Moses. From Adam, when God was saying this thing to Adam, till Moses was at least 2,500 years before the first church was established. God was not speaking church. He was speaking to your world. He was speaking to your life. He was speaking to... What was God saying in that verse? Animals. Is that not biology? Plants. What's that one? Botany. Environment. Your surrounding. Subdue it. Do you subdue it, church? Do you subdue church? God wasn't speaking church. Church did not start until the days of Moses. 2,500 years after that first commandment. So God's intention has always been, the instruction God gave to Adam, he said, dress the garden. Do you know what that means? I have created the garden and it was beautiful when I created it. But if you leave it like that, it will decay. Now, you go and beautify the place. Do what I have not done. Improve on what I have done. You can step. Pastor will say he made us in his likeness, in his image, as a creator. These days, what do they call people that put content online? Content what? Creator. What does creating involve? Thinking. Imagination. Because Bible says the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the water. What do you think he was doing? I'm going to put a garden here. I'm going to shift the waters because the waters and darkness covered everywhere. So he was doing an architectural planning. I'm going to do this. Was that religion? God was doing something that will be a blessing to everyone. I will put the trees here. Each tree will have a seed. That seed will be self-perpetuating. Once I design this animal, I don't need to recreate. They will be self-creating. Once I make a tree, that tree will not die. It's just the seed that will keep on regenerating. Now, as a human being, I'm creating you like me. If you cannot do what I do, if you cannot create something that is self-sustaining, if you cannot be productive, if you cannot, you are not like me. That's what God is saying. And he's showing you how to do it. Now, what is a mountain? What is a mountain? A mountain can be a barrier. A mountain can be a stopper. A mountain can be something. If you see a mountain now, won't you be afraid? If you do an excursion and you go to Mount Everest and they tell you we are climbing that place tomorrow, won't you go back to your hotel room? Many people are turned back at the base of the mountain. Because a mountain is intimidating. However, those who think like God, they see a mountain as a resource. Raw material. Do you know you can obtain granite for making all the roads from that same mountain? Somebody sees that mountain and says, I'm going home. Another person sees that mountain and says, this is raw material for granite too. I can level this mountain and turn it to raw material and be selling it. Another person will see the mountain and sees it as an elevation. If I can just get to the top, do you know what the devil said to Jesus in that temptation? Bible says, and the devil took him. Jesus had little control during that thing. The only control he had was scripture. Bible says the devil took him to the mountaintop and showed him. If you read that passage very well, took Jesus. Jesus was just following. You think he was not tempted? They call it temptation because it appealed to him. Anything that appeals to you, that is your temptation. There are certain things you cannot use to tempt some people. They have overcome it. The devil won't bring it to them. He knows he's wasting his time. Anything the devil brings to you that appeals to your feeling, your emotion, your thoughts, your sensibilities, I like this thing. That is the real temptation. And the devil designed Jesus' own. He designed. What do you think Jesus came to the world? That he may bring many sons. And the devil was showing him the easy way to achieve his objective. He said, I will help you. Come. Took him to the mountains. He said, everything it has been given to me. Bow. I'll give it to you. You think the devil was lying? At that point, he was not lying. Jesus had to quieten that voice. Remember the definition of subdue? Quieten it. It is written. It is written. It is written. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Please flash it quickly. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Let me give you the interpretation of this scripture. How many mountains did you see in that verse? How many? Two. There is a mountain and there are mountains. I'm trying to explain that scripture to you. So, there is a mountain that the foundation is going to be on another set of mountains. Can you get the picture now? Yes, now, that one mountain, singular, is God's house. You see, the plural is you and I. God will not be exalted until you take your position, no? In this world, on this planet, I see the way Pastor was talking to you passionately. Prepare your CV doing this. Because the glory of kings is in the population of his people. If you do well, he's doing well. So God is saying, my mountain can only be established when you become a mountain. So until you rise, until you take your place, God's name cannot be glorified on earth. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Please flash it again so I say it verbatim. The mountain, and it shall come to pass in the last days. What do you think is happening in the early days? God is doing some preparation. Towards the last days, the mountain of God's house will now be established on top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills. Some people may not achieve the status of mountain, but at least be a hill. That is when all people will now flow to it. To that house of God. Can you see it now? God didn't start out with religion. But he's saying that when you succeed at what I told you to do, that garden I gave you to dress, when you do well there, that is when people will now come and worship the God in that mountain that is on top of the mountains. Am I speaking mystery? God wants to build his house, his reputation, and power upon the mountains that were created by his people. And I said, do you know how easy it is to preach when you are rich? In my church, Winners Chapel, they preach almost every week. Do you know what happens? All of you can, at least if you don't know how rich Oyedepo is, you can imagine how rich he is, isn't it? You have an idea. The man goes out to preach in the market. He preaches to mechanics at his level. Do you know what he does? He goes with his team. He goes in his car. He goes with his escort. Then do you know the funny thing? He never steps down from his car. Then they wind down the window. Just in his car, thousands gather. The market's empty. And he just say, Busure for you.
adara fun yin. He doesn't shout. We just be speaking. His security is standing by one side. His driver on one side. All of them in suit. The baba is wearing white casual. Sometimes he comes out and you see them gather. They'll be telling themselves, we did put it, we did put it, and then they assemble. What do you think won those people? You think is the message? Is his testimony. Why? He has become a mountain. Now, imagine somebody who is jobless, looking hungry, shining flyer at the street corner. Who is going to gather? Will anybody gather? Now, imagine you start a company and you put a law. Everybody, devotion starts at 7:30 in the morning. Will they come? Will they not come? They will come because you pay their salary. Evangelism is easier when you are on top of your mountain. And that's what God is saying there. My house will be established on top of the mountains. And the people will flow to it. How many of you have heard this woman on social media? Ibukun Awoshika. Don't you pay attention? She has sat on the board of First Bank. Now that was the MD used to report to her. She has sat on several boards. As at the age of 25, she was employing about 30 people. By the time she was doing her NYC. Right now, when I see those white hair and she talks, I just listen to her. And she's not afraid to share the gospel. She's not scared. When she preaches, you think people don't listen? Including those. Do you know Miles Monroe before he died? He wasn't going to preach. He used to come to Nigeria many times. Tony Elumelu. Eh? That time, Standard Trust Bank used to bring him. Not to pray and bless them. To teach them corporate secrets. That man was an advisor to kings. Advisor to presidents. You think it is about... No. The people will flow when you become a mountain. It's easier to preach. It doesn't mean you should not preach now. But I'm saying God is intending, his plan, his purpose for you is to rise. Because as you rise, it's easier for people. What did science teach us? Is it easier for water to flow from down up or from up down? That is it. From higher potential to lower potential. Even electricity, plus and minus, it flows. But in that verse, it says what? They shall flow to the mountain. They will go against gravity. They will go against resistance. They will go against everything that says no to them. Why? They saw something. Your life must be so beautiful that people will not need convincing. Many times when Oedipo comes to church on Sunday, we say, just last week, 800 people gave their lives to Christ. Is that not a whole church? 800 people on a weekly basis. Oh. He will just say last week, 1,002. That's how he calls it. And then he gives target to everybody. Make sure you bring one soul to church per month or two. That means in a year, you should have 24. But when Baba goes out once, he comes back with testimony. 800. And do you know the funny thing about Oyedepo? He doesn't share money. Yo. I worked for him, under him for 20 years. At Covenant University. For 20 years. You think because he's a billionaire and he preaches prosperity, that's how he shares money. It's not like that, too. You pay. Or Oluwa says it. You pay for anything. Even during Shiloh. You know, in a redemption camp, Baba Adewoye will kick out and feed the indigent people. No, Adewoye doesn't do that one. You pay. He will tell you there is no free lunch in life. Anywhere. He forces you to take responsibility. And I love his training. I love his training. I cherish it till tomorrow. So, he doesn't share money. You think because he's doing evangelism, you will think the people will gather because he's going there to share money or food or clothes. Just to tell you that his evangelism is not by cash. It is just by word of mouth. And then you see thousands gather. You don't need to buy your way. There are blessings you can't pay for. There are results that all the money you have cannot acquire it for you. And now this takes me to the last part. How can I take my mountain? How can I take my mountain? Let's start from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. We are not going to read the whole thing. But this is the story of Caleb. Joshua chapter 14, from verse 6, please. Thank you. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee. Now, at this time, do you know what is happening here? Do you remember the story of the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy the promised land? Joshua and Caleb were on that team. Now, Joshua had already achieved destiny. He had taken over from Moses. He was now in charge of the children of his own mountain, of the children of God. Caleb, can you see what Caleb is saying here? He says, the man of God spoke concerning me and you. You have achieved your own. He said, it remains my own. But there is one thing I want to bring out here. The first step to taking your mountain, locate your word. Locate that thing that God has said about you. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word, every beginning must start with the word. There is something God has said about you. Many of you have no idea what God has said. And there is nobody seated here today that God has not said something about. But many are so ignorant. This is the starting point. Locate your word, though. Can you see what Caleb did here? That was his starting point. Remember what Moses, the servant of God, said concerning me and you. The other 10, they perished too. As at the time Caleb and Joshua were speaking, the other 10, who brought bad report, had perished. They were now in the promised land. Joshua is even the one that led them into the promised land. Caleb said, I have not seen my own mountain. And where did he start from? He said, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord. Please, don't take away that scripture. Put it back. He says, thou knowest the thing that God said to his servant. About who? You and me. God did not speak to them directly. He spoke through his servant. Sometimes God, that is a teacher on his own, how to hear God. However you want to find out what God said about you and about your destiny, get it. Get it by any means possible. Go on to the next verse. 40 years old I was. As at the time he was speaking to Joshua now, he was 40, he was 85. You know what I want to bring out there? He kept that word for 45 years. Next verse. 40 years old I was. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, that made the heart of the people to fail. But me, I wholly followed God. Next verse. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely that place that your feet touched. Okay? Can somebody read it to me? Okay. And your children, he says, surely the land that your feet touched, that place where he came and brought good report. He says, to you I will give it to your inheritance and to your children forever because you wholly followed me. Next verse. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. The last place he says, I am this day fourscore and 5 years old. He was 85 now. He was 40 when Moses gave them that promise. Now he's 85. He said, I've kept this word for 45 years. And then finally, go on. There's a verse where he finally said, Now, give me my mountain. Verse 12. Now, therefore, give me my mountain. Do you know that mountain is now named Hebron? You know the implication of Hebron in the Bible? Hebron is where every king that ever ruled Israel is crowned. Caleb took it. Caleb became the landlord of every king in Israel. He was 85. He said, can you look at me? He said, as my strength was when I was 40. Said, that is how I am now. Do you know the funny thing? He didn't just march into the mountain. No. Read the last verse in that chapter. Verse 15. Let's see what happened there. And Joshua blessed him and gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for inheritance. As at the time he was giving it to Caleb, there were giants there. Please take me to the place where they mentioned Arba, the son of... Is it the last verse? Thank you. And the name of Hebron, before Caleb took it, was Kirjat Arba, which means Arba was a great man among the Anakims. The Anakims were giants. And Arba was the greatest, the worst of the Anakims. That's what Caleb was asking for at 85. Show me my mountain. As strong as I was that time, even at 85, I will bring down anybody. I will quieten them. I will bring them under control. I will subject them. And forever, Hebron will be called mine. And the land had rest from war. Remember what I said. The question now arises, what was Caleb doing for 45 years that didn't make him to ask for the mountain on time? Look, there are certain promises that God gave you. If you enter it prematurely, they will level you. Until you are ready for your mountain, don't go near it. Remember what I said, there is always resistance. The lights of Arba, the greatest among the sons of Anakim, they are sitting in your inheritance. You don't just go. What do you think he was doing? So, as I said, Caleb claimed his word. That's the starting point. I will still answer that question. Also, in that Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 that we read, just the same way God showed Adam, these are plants. These are these. This is this. Subdue them. Same way God said to Caleb, this is your mountain. Take it. He wasn't asking, he wasn't bothered about the enemy that is there. He was just asking permission to activate the word that was giving him 45 years. That was his only concern. Has God forgotten this word? You are the new man of God upon this nation. Give me the blessing. And Bible says, and Joshua blessed him and says, go. He just wanted it. The moment he had God, he secured his word, he moved. They didn't tell us the detail of the battle. But it was not a walkover. Number two. This one will answer the question, what was Caleb doing in 45 years? Number two, aim for mastery. Go for what? Mastery. Please let me look for that scripture in Joshua chapter 14 where he says, going in and coming in. He said something like that. Caleb said something like that. He says, I was going in and coming in. Every battle they fought, when they were taking the promised land, Caleb was part of it. That's what he was saying. He says, every battle, I was part of helping other people to achieve their dreams, to get their inheritance. Are you able to find that verse? Verse 10, please. Let's look at verse 10. 14:10. Develop mastery Another word for that is capacity, ability, skills. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spoke to me, why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, now, lo, I am this day, fourscore and five. I'm not sure that's the exact scripture. 11, go to 11. Thank you. And yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Every single war, he was participating. They said, let's go. He goes. Let's come in. He comes in. Let's go and lay siege against this city. He's with them. So, all those 45 years, he was developing what? Capacity. Experience. Ability. What's the first thing your employer has asked for in your CV? That is what is going to deliver the job to you. So, Caleb was saying, I did everything you asked me. Now, I have developed capacity. Show me my inheritance. Until you lay hold of mastery, don't go near your mountain. Those sons of Anakim are not joking there. Once you obtain God's word and you obtain mastery, the detail of the word was not recorded because it didn't matter anymore. Those first two things has negated your resistance. The word and your own capacity. Now, who is going to give you capacity? You give yourself. Pastor was talking about seminar, training, and all that. You don't get it cheap. People pay for it too. Before Caleb, Hebron belonged to the greatest Anakim. We've read that verse. The greater your portion in life, the greater will be your contention. If you want a great portion, get ready for great what? Contention. People will contend. I don't know how many of you have tried to build anything in Lagos. As soon as you are digging the ground, what happens? They show up. Don't they show up? It's just like when, don't let me use that graphic image. Maybe you are eating in the restaurant. Won't flies show up? Because they smell it too. Isn't it? Or you go and keep some food stuff somewhere. Those rats will show up uninvited. You don't need to. You have already, with the aroma, you have invited them already. That is it. So when God gives you a great destiny, the contention will be equal to that destiny. Hebron is where every king in Israel was crowned. Remember what we found there. Abba, the greatest among the sons of Anakim. The worst. At least, if you don't know what Anakim is, you know Goliath now. Yeah. Now imagine a whole tribe of Goliaths. Yes, that's what they are talking about. They killed them till it remained a few. Bible says it was David and his men that finished the remaining 7 sons of Anak. And do you know who those people are? Bible says it was when the sons of God were sleeping with the daughters of men. Those people were gods. They were half men, half gods. When you hear Anak, those are not 100% pure human beings. They were half caste. Half human, half gods. If you're a film enthusiast like me and you watch movies, you must have watched movies, Zeus. And, yes. And there was this particular one that Achilles, that the only place you can kill him is when you wound him. Yeah, and you hear all these stories. Those things are not folklore, though. They were children of, Zeus was the king of the gods, and then slept with a woman and gave birth to Achilles. And he could not be killed in battle. And the only prophecy is if you can injure his feet. So normally he used to wear iron shoes. There's no battle you cannot enter. Half gods, half humans. It existed. They have a whole tribe. So they killed them. It was David and his men that finished the remaining. Now you want to face a god in battle? But that is what Caleb did. And I wrote here, you cannot build muscle. That's capacity. Those of you who do bodybuilding here, you know what it takes. You cannot build muscle or you cannot build capacity without resistance. What do you think those people doing bodybuilding are doing with those iron? It's resistance. When you carry that thing, some of you will first mess. Wait. Why? Resistance matter. Isn't it? But you keep doing it. One, two. One, two. Consistently. And they don't get results the next day. They don't get it the next month. They keep doing it. That is what capacity building is. That is what mastery is. Doing the same thing over and over and over and over until they wake you up in your dream and you just do it. Without thinking. Why do you think David never lost a battle? He says, he trained my hands to war. He trained. David's hand was practiced at killing. I don't know how that man became close to God. He shed so much blood. Even God that was helping him said, you can't build my house. Abba, if I measure the liters of blood that David has shed, God said, no, I want a man of peace like Solomon. Solomon is always using pomade, using perfume. God said, I want something quiet. I don't need stress in my life. You cannot come and use hand of blood to come and put up where people will be worshipping. Even God. You know what David said? He said, he trained my hands to war until the sword cleaved. David cannot release his hand again. He just needs to leave his hand relaxed. And he's still cleaving. And he's still beheading people. Have you ever read that verse? Until my hand clave, stuck to it. So the hand was going naturally. This is a high level of skill. He was just cutting heads. Just cutting heads. But he so much desired to build a house for God. He said, at least I can buy building material. So he started buying everything. But God said, I should not build. Started buying. So when Solomon came, he said, see, that's the storehouse, the warehouse. The building materials are there. The gold, the timber, the this. But God says, my hand is too dirty. You, at least, you are innocent. You are a youth. Man of peace. Capacity. So God does not like weaklings. So if you are a weakling, you are not a child of God. I'm not saying weakling physically. You can be a weakling in looks. Look, do you know what Paul said? They said, what they said about Paul. They said, when you look at him, he looks like a weak person. But that man shook Christendom. It's not about your physical looks. That was something Paul carried. That when you see him physically, they said, this is Paul. You look again. Where? They said, this is Paul. Are you sure? He doesn't look like that mighty man that scattered every city he entered. But he carried something. Capacity. Mastery. Whatever field God has given to you, you must be ready. Like Caleb did. Train yourself. Train yourself. And I wrote here, confidence is the firstborn of capacity. When you get capacity, confidence is the first thing you acquire. Can you see the way Caleb spoke? He didn't ask Joshua for support, for military men. That was the only thing he was looking for. Was the blessing. Just show me. Point it to me. He wasn't asking for men. He wasn't asking for support. He wasn't asking for bullets. He wasn't asking for a bomb. Why? Capacity had come. Therefore, confidence had come. Have you ever been in any place and they say you should come and speak? Or they say that you should come for interview and your palms are sweaty? Has it ever happened to you before? That they say you should come and speak somewhere and you are jittery? What is lacking? Confidence. Confidence. And it's because capacity is not there. Let me tell you how I started preaching. I preached my first message in secondary school. I was president of my fellowship in secondary school. But how did they appoint me president? Just one year or 2 years before, the Holy Spirit moved me, go and give this testimony. I say, I cannot. And the fellowship was about 300 members. The old school was 1,500. The fellowship, the Christians there were about 300. How will I stand in front of 300 people? I was about 13 or 14. So it was like that spirit was pushing me. I didn't know God was pushing me into what I would do later in life. So I got to the front. I don't know what I said. I was just so anxious, tensed up. And I just ranted the whole testimony. And I just knew that when I was walking away, it was like I was floating. Because I was intimidated by the crowd. But I know these people were clapping, which means I must have said something that made sense. The next day, I had malaria. Still from the anxiety. I went to a center. Just giving testimony. Today, I just told you, I just came back from a bishop's place. Bishop Waleoke. And I was speaking. And Baba sat down. I was writing notes. Now I can speak before kings. And my hand will not be sweating. Mastery. It took 45 years for Caleb to get there. I don't know how many. I told you 13, isn't it? So I've been doing it for some time. Before I also left Nigeria, I had the privilege of being invited by Bishop David Oyedepo into his house. 1 a.m. I was still in his personal office in his house. Midnight. Sharing personal things with me. Telling me the things he wants me to do for him. And I said, who is my father? Who knows my father? Who knows me from anywhere? That a man such as this will invite me. He invited me like that 5 times. I'm not saying 2-3 of us. Just he and I. And he'll be telling me things. He'll laugh, joke, tell me things he doesn't share on the altar. But like Pastor said, there are certain things that even when God plans that those things are yours, if you are not prepared, nobody will give it to you. He wanted me sincerely, but I was not prepared. So I lost some of the opportunities he had in mind. Confidence is the firstborn of capacity. Without capacity, your confidence is pure braggado. And it can be deflated at any time. Imagine that Caleb didn't have capacity. He was just bragging. He didn't have the skill. And he just went to face Abba. What do you think will happen at 85? They will use him for lunch. Without capacity, if you think you can just brag your way, show fake, you know they used to say, fake it until you make it. Don't go and fake it in front of Abba, the son of Anakim. Do you think David faked it in front of Goliath? Do you see? Bible says the whole Israel, they were cowering. His elder brothers were among. The king was behind the army. At least before they get to me, they would have killed everybody. Even the king was hiding. David said, who is that uncircumcised idiot? Show him, show me. Where is he? A teenager. What do you think he was doing in the bush? Killing lions, killing bears. Capacity. And the day he now finally met Goliath, shouldn't you be afraid? You are facing a half god. He just went there. He says, God will put you into my hand. And let me tell you what will happen. I will detach your head from your neck. It was confidence. They even gave him armor. What did he tell them? He said, I can't move. Remove this thing, remove this. I don't need this thing when I met lion and bear. He said, what are you taking? Just carry his bag. Nobody knew what was inside the bag. Stone. 5 selected stones. He just chose 5 in case one failed. I will use the next one. But the first one did not even fail. Why? Skill. He threw one. One. By that time, he had not even started learning how to use sword. He was still throwing stones. And he won his first battle and became a national icon. Remember, the mountains. Do you know how many countries David leveled and brought to serve God? No, you don't serve God by preaching under David. You serve him by force. When David shows you serve God, that's what you do. Final point, make a move. When God has given you your capacity, the next thing you do is to make a move. Now, I'll be speaking very fast. It is risky to move before you are certified ready. Let me give you examples of people who tried it. Remember I said confidence is the firstborn of what? Capacity. Moses was the first one that failed. Now, imagine that Moses could not make it. Imagine that there was no Moses. Do you think Bible will make sense? The first five books of the Bible would not have been written. Please flash on the screen. Exodus 2, verse 14 to 15. Let's start from verse 14. Exodus chapter 2, verse 14. Quickly, please, my time is running out. And he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me? The way you killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing, they have discovered my secret. Next verse. Now, when Pharaoh heard, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses ran and dwelt in Midian, and he sat down by a well. He had calmed down. What do you think happened? He didn't have capacity. He showed his face. He ran. Then God put him through a school for 40 years. Then God sent him back. By the time God was sending him back, even he was saying, God, send somebody else. I'm humbled. I've been messed up. I failed. God says, just go. Remember the first thing you need, the word. It was that word that gave him the strength to go back. And when he got back, he already had capacity. Everything bowed at his feet. Do you think he didn't meet resistance? He still met resistance. But the word gave him the power. The capacity gave him the confidence. And at the end of the day, he got what he wanted. Peter also failed. Matthew 26 from verses 69 to 75. Bible says, a small girl said, Peter, I know you now. You are one of his disciples. It's me? Like, where? Eh? Jesus? Ah, no, I never saw him. In my life, if I know him, let something strike me now. He was swearing. The same Peter, when Jesus said, do you know what Jesus said? He said, I have prayed for you. The devil has desired to mess up your destiny. Jesus chose him so that he can become a mountain in this life. But the devil desired to mess him up. And Jesus said, I have so many destinies. There are many genuine destinies that will never be actualized. That is God that spoke it to be. Do you think God didn't call Judas? He was called the same way they call Peter. But there's a way, Bible says, and devil and Satan entered him. Messed up that seed of the word that could have become a mountain. That barrier across your path, the Lord levels it today. Yeah. And that is what Jesus was always doing. In John chapter 7 verse 6, please read it, let's read it. John 7, 6. Thank you. Then Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come. Can you see what I said about waiting until you build capacity? Even Jesus. Remember at the age of 12, he was asking questions from doctors. He already knew enough at that age. But Bible says when his parents said this and that, Bible says he was subject to them. He went silent for about 18 more years. Until God said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. The word. And he was building capacity in the background. And then the word announced him. And what happened at the end of the verse 7? The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of the works thereof. So, one of the secrets of Jesus Christ was that he waited. If he didn't wait as Jesus as he was, what happened to Moses would have happened to him. As a baby, what happened? His parents, they took him and ran. If an angel came and said, carry him and run. Why? Capacity had not come. But when capacity came, the people that are looking for his life said to them, oh, ye brood of vipers. What is that? Confidence. Another story is Joseph. Psalm 105, verse 18. Let's start from verse 18. Quickly, please. Psalm 105. Let's look at what happened to Joseph. Joseph was another child of destiny that the devil would have eaten him up. They would have finished him. Whose feet they hurt with irons. In other words, he was a slave. They laid him in iron. Next verse. Until the time that what came? Remember the first thing to take your mountain. Water. There's no time to share my personal testimony. Until the time That is what came. The word of the Lord tried him. What is that trial? Resistance. Remember weightlifting. The word of the Lord tried him. Next verse. Until the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. In other words, go and manifest. Make your move. Remember what the Bible says. The whole world is waiting for what? The manifestation of what? The mountains. It says, and saviors. Do you know what it means? That you are sharing the same title with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus not our savior? Then a verse says, and saviors. You rescue mankind in medicine, in engineering, in academics, in whatever field you find yourself. God is not all about religion. No? In fact, the first church was not started until about 2,500 years. And there were millions of people on the earth. That's not his move. That's not his concern. His concern is that you conquer your mountain. Because it is when you become a mountain, that his own mountain will become visible. If you move before you are ready, they will fry you. When it is your time, no fear face. I deliberately put it there. In Nigerian parlance, no fear face. Oh. Remember there is a contention. But when the word releases you, no look face. You have to look wild. And when God frees you, this is the last instruction I want to give. When God frees you and gives you the power to move, like the word of God that came and set Joseph free, I said, move with speed and with a sense of urgency. When God releases you like this, it's usually a window. If you have moved with God for a while, you will understand this. When God says, go, you better take off. You are not waiting for anything again. God said to Moses, he said, now go. Now I'm releasing you. You thought you could do it by yourself. After 40 years, now go. He said, no, I don't have capacity. By the time God wanted to kill him on the road, I hope you have read that passage. He knew God was serious. 1 Samuel 21 verse 8, it says the king's business requires haste. 1 Samuel 21 verse 8, I think the last verse there. The king's business, anytime you're running an errand, can you see the last verse there? It says, because the king's business requires haste. You don't know how much time God has for you on this earth. And he has said, go, do this business. I've given you capacity. I've given you my word. What else do you want from me? Move with haste. Again, John chapter 9 verse 4. What did Jesus say about timing? John chapter 9 and verse 4, please. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. The way I walk, people around me complain. You are not resting. You are not this. You are not that. If you see my father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, you will think he is about 50 years older than his age. The man is walking with so much urgency. Is it money he's working for now? He doesn't need it. But he's doing it because he knows his time is short. Even the devil is urgent. He says, for he knows that what? And the devil has been allowed around for at least 6,000 years, dealing with humanity. Yet, he says his time is short. And you are here. God has given you capacity. He has given you power. He has given you his word. And you are saying, let me get American visa first. Even the devil says, for he knows his time is short. 6,000 years is short. And then God gave you just 100 years to live. And you are wasting part of it. Bow down your head, shall we pray? Pray. Lord, I receive the wisdom to catch my own mountain. I want to be one of the children that you are proud of on this earth. I don't even want to be a hill. I want to be a mountain. I want to be one of those people that causes men to flow into your house. In my business, in my job, in my mouth, everything I set my hands to do. Lord, the world must come to know you because I met you. I'm not going to live an ordinary life. Lord, the things you have taken me through, the problems I have faced in this life, the challenges I have faced, all of them are resistances. But Lord, as I pass through these challenges, I know that you are building capacity in me. Lord, no barrier can stop me. If the enemies could not kill me to this day, nothing can stop me. Lord, move my hand. Move me. Help me. I must not be an aborted destiny. This, my destiny, must not be aborted. My time is short. Even if I live 200 years, it's too short. Lord, the time to start has come. The time to start is now. I cannot afford to waste away. I cannot afford to do Netflix and just waste my life, waste my time. What must I do? That word, that very word that will set me free, that will move me forward. Lord, send me my word. Reveal my word. Expose me to that word that can move me. Lord, give me that capacity with the needed confidence. Thank you, everlasting Father. Jesus, we give you all the glory. Hallelujah to your holy name. For in Jesus' name we are praying.
You have received the word, and heaven has marked your moment. This week, you will move in divine speed, divine favor, and undeniable testimonies. Go forth as a proof of prophecy. For more information, visit our website at www.theharvestword.org. See you again, and until then, keep soaring.